Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is a Monday edition of JJ After Dark. It's John Jastrzemski right here on the Fan, and I figured it would be perfect timing with this gentleman out in Las Vegas that we set the stage for futures, that we set the stage for the over-unders, all that good stuff. He's got a kick-ass, unbelievable podcast with Cousin Sal, with the Parlay Kid, with Brother Bri, Against All Odds. Harry is back from Against All Odds. He's out in Vegas right now. Harry, life is good, brother, ain't it?
It is, man. JJ, thanks again for having me out here. It's on your show. Love everything, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, I believe it. Now, let me ask you, Harry. First off, I don't usually get involved with the preseason wagering, but you're out in Vegas, and when in Rome, you're going to dabble. You're going to have a little fun with some preseason wagering. If there's a strategy you'd like to share to the listening audience, if they're going to get involved in taking these games in any way, what exactly would that be?
Well, I got a couple strategies. Now, listen, I don't know. When it comes to, like you said, preseason, I don't know. But I do have a couple that I like to use. The Patriots, last week, they went into Detroit. They won by 28. So a lot of times I like going the other way, especially with teams winning the week before and then good teams. I tried that yesterday. I was on the Titans plus one, covering the entire game for about 55 minutes. Pats go on a 99-yard drive with 3.5 minutes to go. They score late. I lose with the Titans plus one. Took a shot today with the Chargers on the money line at home, up 17-3. Late field goal. New Orleans gets a couple first downs so they can run the clock out, kick the field goal. I lose by a deuce when I could have taken the points and gotten a push. And then, of course, you know, everyone who's out there and gambles and knows how things go at the end, it's a little strange when it's funky. And it was funky in the Seattle game tonight against the Vikings. Vikings up 9 with – and I took Seattle plus the 3. Vikings up 9 with 3 minutes to go. Seattle is at the Vikings 2-yard line. They decide to kick the field goal. What are you going to learn by kicking a 19-yard field goal instead?
In a preseason game, no less, Harry. In a preseason game.
Don't get the ball. I mean, of course, you're gonna, we know. Lose by 6, you know, take another hit. But you're like, you know, maybe getting these 3 out of the way will put me in a winning type of season after this thing. Because this has been bad. This is 0-3. That's bad losses.
You ain't kidding, and the only silver lining I can find for you, my friend, is that hopefully you're getting these bad beats out of the way in the preseason, and that way when the regular season rolls around for college football and the NFL, you're about to hit the ground running. So when it comes to totals, and I know you have a bunch of totals that you like, over-unders when it comes to wins, how much do you look at the schedule and take that into account when, you know, you're going through these numbers, when you're looking at certain VIGs? Like, how important is the schedule that specific team is playing? Does that mean a lot to you?
It means a ton. You have to look at this. I mean, you know, you have to look at the schedule. You got to see, and especially in college, you know, when you're getting these cupcakes, if you're not getting some of these cupcake games, like, I'm going to give you one right now, and I'm sure you like it too. It's your own Syracuse Orange, over 7.5 wins this year. Now, if you look at their schedule, JJ, I mean, they play Liberty, they play Western Michigan, they play Holy Cross in non-conference games, and they also play Maryland, and Maryland is way down this year. Their over-under is like 4 for the season. So if you can give Syracuse 4 of those, they play a Daniel Jones-less Duke team on the road. Louisville's way down. That's 6 wins right there. They lost to Pittsburgh last year in overtime, and they get them at home in a revenge game. So that's like seven wins right there. And plus, you know, they got a couple others that could be. I mean, they could get 10. They got 10 wins last year with everything. Dabo comes to town against Syracuse. That's going to be a tough one, but in September. But Dino Babers has got this team playing great. I mean, they scored 40 points a game last year. Tommy DeVito takes over. He's got big shoes to fill here, taking over for Eric Dungy, who led Syracuse in passing yards last year and his career leader. But, you know, they got a lot of – Syracuse has got a lot of good upside. I'm going to say it right now. The defensive player of the year in the ACC is going to be Andre Sisco. Fantastic safety. He had 7 picks for the Cuse last year. And things are looking great. Syracuse has finished in the top 15 for the first time in 18 years. I like Syracuse over 7.5. In fact, I really love it. I love it.
Well, that makes two of us because I already fired it in when I saw 6.5 when it opened up. And now you're not going to find that anywhere. So it's nice having that additional win. But, Harry, to your point, I think the schedule favorable for Cuse. I love the head coach. And I'll be up there for that Clemson game in a couple of weeks. And I don't expect to win. I think Clemson is by far and away the class of the ACC. But laying that 145 for over 7.5 wins, I think is juicy. Let's stay with college football before we get to the NFL. Because I look at Alabama only laying 170 to win the SEC. That kind of seems fishy to me. And I think about Georgia, who easily could have beat them last year, that is going to win their side, I think, of the SEC, that has a Heisman candidate in Fromm. And I'm seeing Georgia plus money to win the SEC. I also am seeing Georgia as the third favorite aside from Alabama, Clemson. I think they're a great bet to win the SEC. And I'll ask you, Harry, do you think Georgia plus 600 or plus 650 is a decent national championship bet?
Oh, I think so. They're stacked. Their defense is solid. And I think at plus 250 for the SEC, I'll tell you, look, you look at their schedule, and they don't play Bama. They don't play LSU in the regular season. Their toughest road game is Auburn. Auburn's over-under for the season is 8. And, look, I'm going to give you the stat of the show tonight. I'm going to give you a stat of the show. In the last two games versus Alabama, Georgia has either been tied or had the lead in 280 of a total of 289 snaps.
Insanity.
And they lost them, both, as we both know. So revenge is on their mind for the SEC championship. They got 38 points a game last year. And like you said, Fromm, solid player, 30 touchdowns, only 6 picks. Junior running back DeAndre Swift, monster season last year too. 7 starters return on defense. That's, like I said, fantastic. I think Georgia takes him down tonight. You know what? Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator for Alabama, wherever he's been going lately, he's not even that great. I mean, look what happened in the championship game. I'm not saying that was all on him, but Clemson steamrolled him. Georgia plus 250. I mean, look at this. Kirby Smart's got one heck of a team, and I think they get revenge and they do it this year.
We got my main man, Harry. He's live from Las Vegas, a part of the Against All Odds podcast, one of my favorite podcasts you're going to find. He, Cousin Sal, Brother Bri, the Parlay Kid, they got the meetings of the minds always when they're talking week to week about what's going on in college and the NFL. Let's transition to the NFL because I'm looking at your sheet that you sent over to me. And, Harry, let's just say one of your totals as far as an over-under is not going to be near and dear to the New York fan. So you like the Jets as an under when it comes to 7 wins this year. Why do you like them as an under?
Well, you know what? If people out there are listening, they've heard our podcast in the last year to year and a half. I'm very much down on Sam Darnold.
Really?
You know?
Really? Because really I'm the opposite on this, Harry. I love him. I love him.
You know what? Everyone in the media, I think everyone is fascinated with him to be good and think he's going to be great. And I understand this, but whenever he's played, he is a turnover machine. At USC, he turned the ball over plenty. Fumbles, interceptions. And I just think that with the Jets' schedule, they play the first 6 games is really tough. They play Philly. They play Dallas. They play Cleveland, who's on the up and up. And they get New England twice in the first 6 weeks. I mean, they haven't played anything in terms of like the way they played last year. They were terrible. I mean, they had no offense. They had 50 receptions from Robbie Anderson. Nobody else had 40. Nobody else had 40 receptions. And I know getting Le'Veon Bell is going to be a big addition, and he's going to get yards, and he's going to probably get a lot of screens and dump off. I would hope the Jets are going to have set up a lot of stuff set up for him. But I'm just thinking that, like, if you look at the schedule, if they don't get by those killer early season games, it's going to be another long season for them.
Okay, you have the Jets as an under at 7. You also have another team.
Look at this, CJ. They haven't made the playoffs since 2010. They haven't had a winning season. They haven't hit 7 wins since 2015.
2015, which was the Ryan Fitzpatrick year with Todd Bowles. But you always usually see the Jets with a first-year head coach. It happened with Herm Edwards. It happened with Rex Ryan. It happened with Eric Mangini. It happened with Todd Bowles, for that matter, where they seem to have a bump. And I like their pass rush. I think the offensive line's better. I like Crowder coming in alongside Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa. And we're going to beg to differ on Sam Darnold. You're not buying the hype. I think he's got talent. I think he's got promise. But you're right. That schedule early is going to make or break them. They got to hold the fort until the later part of the schedule. But I want to get to another one that you have here in the AFC East, because it's the team I root for. It's the team that's near and dear, Harry, to my heart, the Miami Dolphins. And look, the Dolphins have made it clear. They are thinking about 2020 and beyond. I'm always very leery with a very low total. I think about the Jets a couple of years ago when their total was like 4 wins. And I'm like, there's no way in the world this team's going to win more than 4 games. And what do? They find a way to go and win 5. So you feel pretty good about Miami under 5 wins with first-year head coach Brian Flores.
I just do. You know, a new quarterback situation, like you just mentioned, Fitzpatrick, he's there, Rosen's there. Maybe it's going to be Fitzpatrick to start. And actually, Fitzpatrick, when he started seasons lately, has been pretty good. But still, I think it's a lot of stuff that's going on with this team that they didn't do in the offseason. They didn't, their defense is not good. They let Cameron Wake walk when they could have signed him in free agency. They traded pass rusher Robert Quinn to the Cowboys. Those two led the Dolphins with 12 and a half sacks combined last season. Frank Gore is gone. He's shoveled off to Buffalo. A lot of stuff, a lot of playmakers that they don't have, and it's going to be very difficult, especially, you know, in this AFC. Like, maybe I'm wrong about the Jets. Jets, that could be 2 wins. I think the Bills are a team that's on the upside. And, of course, you got the Patriots. So I think, you know, having new head coach, Brian Flores in there, new defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham, he inherited, you know, the guy inherits a defense that was like 27th in points allowed last year, 29th in yards allowed. And like I said, lose guys like Cameron Wake and Robert Quinn, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I can't fight you on that one. I can fight you on the Jets as a total. I'm not going to fight you on the Dolphins. There's no way in the world I would play the over. But if you have the Jets as an under and you have the Dolphins as an under, does that lead me to believe that you would probably play either New England, which is probably a given year in and year out, even though their total is so high? But Buffalo, are you going to be looking at Buffalo maybe as a team that you play their over? I think it's right around 6.5, 7 wins.
I think the Bills are on the upside. Look, they didn't have a lot of weapons on offense. They didn't give a lot of stuff to Josh Allen, but I think he matured throughout the season. I think also they've picked up on free agency. They made a couple plays. They got John Brown from Baltimore. He had 5 touchdowns last year, his most since 2015 when he was a Cardinal. And I think helping out Josh Allen underneath Cole Beasley is going to be huge on third downs. When it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, he's going across the middle. That could be his guy, I think. Now, they definitely do have to run the ball more. They got to get some. I mean, Allen led them in rushing last year. That's not going to fly if you're really going to win 7 or 8. I think the Bills are going to win 8, but you really got to have some other offense except for him, aside from him rushing the ball. I mean, Zay Jones led the Bills in receptions last year. It was the second year. He was really good, but the defense is where the Bills are at. The defense is where the Bills are going to win games. They returned 10 starters. I think drafting Ed Oliver was great. It's going to be a big push up the middle. It's going to free things up for, like, defensive end Jerry Hughes and linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. Those two guys had, like, 13, 14 sacks last year. The secondary is one of the best in the league. Micah Hyde's great. Jordan Poyer had 4 sacks, led the Bills four picks last year, led the Bills in picks, and he was second in tackles with 100. So I think, yeah, Jets are down for me. Miami's definitely down. But I think the Bills, like you said, 6.5, I think the Bills can get to 8.
Okay, Harry, I always look for a team that was out of the playoffs a year ago that has talent as, dare I say, a bounce-back candidate. So I'm going to ask you, a team that wasn't in the playoffs last year, a team that you believe has a whole lot of talent, either returning, coming into the fold, whatever the case may be, who would be that team that you think is poised for either a big step forward or, dare I say, a bounce-back year? Is there one that comes to mind?
There is one. It's the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan, this is it. I mean, in 2016, the Falcons led the NFL with 34 points a game. And like I said, I mentioned Sarkisian. Sarkisian took over the offense in 17, brought the team down to 22 points a game. He's gone now. Dirk Cutter is the guy. Everybody said this is going to be the perfect fit for Atlanta. It's going to work for Matt Ryan. Well, you know what? Matt Ryan, the highest-paid player in the NFL, let's get it done. Let's get back to that 2016 season where it was that high-octane offense of the Falcons that scared everybody. Julio Jones, 1,700 yards last year, but only 8 touchdowns. It'd be nice to see down in the red zone. Go to him. Why wouldn't you go to Jones? I mean, it's amazing that they didn't last year. I think he was underutilized by Sarkisian last year. Maybe you see Julio Jones have a monster season aside from the yards. He gets more touchdowns. And, you know, you also got Ridley, Calvin Ridley, who was solid most of the first half of the season, tailed off a little bit, but still, rookie year had 10 touchdowns. And Devonta Freeman is healthy, finally. So I think it's going to be the Falcons that really surprise and get things rolling again. Maybe get them to the NFC Championship game. I think they're that good this year.
Harry, obviously got to touch on the Giants. We hit on the Jets. You like them as an under. Giant totals at 6. I think they're the worst team talent-wise within this division. We know at some point in time, Daniel Jones, you would think, is going to be playing quarterback for this team. Would you go anywhere near the Giants as a total at 6?
You know why you can? Like you mentioned earlier, their schedule. They play the AFC East, so you get Miami. Maybe Buffalo's down, you get the Jets. But the way the schedule breaks down for them, they get Detroit, they get Tampa, they get Arizona. You get Washington twice. I mean, that's like 7 or 8 right there. If they win 5 of 7 of those, you got to win one more even for a push. I think you can with Giants. And with Barkley there and Eli looking decent, Jones looking good, Jones looking great, actually. I think the Giants and Shepard's going to be ready for game 1. I think he's the guy that's the key player for the Giants. If he can get open and get passes downfield, opens up things for Barkley on swing passes, runs. I think you can play the Giants.
Our main man, Harry, against all odds. Harry, before we get you out of here, before you get back to the roulette wheel, who is the most...
Hey, by the way, yes. JJ, you got a lucky number for me?
Oh, I sure do. Yeah. I got 2 for you. 19 and 33. Those are the 2 numbers I got to play anytime I'm at the roulette wheel. So if that number hits, Harry, the next time I see you, you get me a couple of beers, all right?
I know those numbers are on the same side of the wheel, so all right.
There you go. 1933, and think of me. Okay. If it ends up hitting, I want a nice text I want to mention before we sign off the air. But I got to ask you before you get out of here, who, in your opinion, is the most overhyped and the most overrated team from a value standpoint going into the league?
A lot of times it's the Cowboys, just because everyone wants to see them, everyone wants to know what they're going on. I think it might be the Cowboys still this year because, look, I mean, is Dak worth the $40 million? I don't know, probably not. But I mean, we're talking about that. We're talking about other situations with the Cowboys where Jerry Jones doesn't know who to sign. What's he going to do? I think when it comes to playing on the field, Dallas lost a lot of key players. I just don't think they're going to be that good this year, and everyone wants to make them out to be. I know they're going to be a rivalry with the Eagles and everything. It's going to be tight probably down the stretch, but I got to give it to the Cowboys.
What is on deck for you now, your final night in Las Vegas? I'm very, very jealous. I can't imagine what you and the fellas are going to be doing. So what's on deck for you after watching all these games, getting all your ducks in order for the start of the year? Like, what is on tap, Harry, for the final night? What's going on?
You know, I really, last night I stayed out, partied a little too long, 5 in the morning. Did the comeback from New York, with the sun coming out, you know, the walk of shame.
Oh yeah,
but it's been okay. I've made money actually messing around, screwing around, but I think I'm gonna go down. I'm really tired, but I'm, you know, you're right though. I gotta go down. I'm gonna go mess around, play a little, maybe have a little cocktail, and then maybe that gets me going. Play a little roulette. And then who knows? It could be another 5 a.m. night before you know it. I don't know.
Anything can happen out there. Harry, you're the best. Keep up the good work, man. We will check in throughout the year, and we can find you on the Ringer against all odds with Cousin Sal, with Brother Bri, with the Parlay Kid, and this guy, my main man, Harry. Harry, appreciate it, bro.
JJ, always thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank you, bud.
Pleasure's all mine. Some real good stuff if you're getting ready for the start of the NFL season from a Vegas perspective. This guy, one of the best. 877-337-6666. Update time. Here he is, the maestro, Harris Allen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.